I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. Forgive me all my sins, and graciously keep me this night. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the Garden of Eden, Satan destroyed the perfect relationship between God and man. It was in Eden that the tragic cry of human hearts began. When the time was right, God acted. He sent His one and only Son into the world to do for all people what we could not do for ourselves. Jesus lived perfectly and died innocently and rose again to restore peace between us and our God. But Satan was not finished. He continued to challenge the teachings of the Bible, either by changing what Scripture teaches or by hiding the truth altogether. When the time was right, God acted in history. He raised up a mere man to be the messenger of the everlasting gospel. That man was Martin Luther. We praise God for using this man to reform the teachings of the Holy Scriptures and for preserving them for us today. Luther once said, "Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness, I am your sin. You became what you were not and made me to be what I am not." As we celebrate the anniversary of the Reformation, let us praise God for the truth of His Word. Let us praise Him for having brought that truth into our lives. Let us praise Him for the privilege of sharing that saving truth with others. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you today for the blessing of our faith, which you preserve in our hearts. In an age of anxiety, we believe that peace comes from Jesus, the Son of God. In an age of confusion, we believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, inerrant and infallible. In an age of doubt, we believe that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. In an age of guilt, we believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for all our sins. In an age of relying on human reason, we believe that God is at work in the sacraments of holy baptism and holy communion. In an age of constant change, we believe in the unchanging Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For the blessing of our faith and for your word of truth that never changes, we thank you, dear Lord. Our first reading for this celebration of the Reformation is recorded in the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians, beginning at verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not allow anyone to put the yoke of slavery on you again. Look, I, Paul, tell you that if you allow yourselves to be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. I testify again to every man who allows himself to be circumcised that he is obligated to do the whole law. You who are trying to be declared righteous by the law are completely separated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. Indeed, through the Spirit, we by faith are eagerly awaiting for the sure hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision matters. Rather, it is faith working through love that matters. This is the word of the Lord. The psalm of the day is Psalm 46. We'll read it responsively. God is our refuge and strength. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, though its waters roar and foam. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. God is within her. She will not fall. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. The Lord Almighty is with us. Our gospel reading for this evening is found in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning at verse 16. Look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on guard against people. They will hand you over to councils, and they will whip you in their synagogues. You will be brought into the presence of governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. Whenever they hand you over, do not be worried about how you will respond or what you will say, because what you say will be given to you in that hour. In fact, you will not be the one speaking, but the Spirit of your Father will be speaking through you. Brother will hand over his brother to death, and a father will do the same with his child. Children will rise up against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all people because of my name, but whoever endures to the end will be saved. And when they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. Amen, I tell you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's meditation is recorded in the 6th chapter of the book of Daniel, beginning at verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the document had been signed, he went to his house. It had windows on its upper story that opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times each day he would get on his knees and pray and offer praise before his God. He continued to do that, just as he had been doing before this. Then these men came as a group and found Daniel praying and seeking favor from his God. They then went and asked the king about the decree. Your Majesty, did you not sign a decree that anyone who prays to any god or person for 30 days, except to you, Your Majesty, would be thrown into the den of lions? The king answered, Indeed I did. The order is established as a law of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be revoked. Then the king gave the order, and Daniel was brought and thrown into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the pit. The king sealed it with his signet ring and the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing could be changed with regard to Daniel's situation. Then the king went to his palace. He spent the night without food, and no entertainment was brought before him, but he could not sleep. At dawn, the king arose as soon as it was light and hurried to the lion's den. As he came near the pit, he cried out in a fearful voice. The king said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve continually, able to rescue you from the lions? Then Daniel spoke with the king, Your Majesty, may you live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me, because he found me innocent in his presence. Also before you, Your Majesty, I have committed no crime. Then the king was very glad, and said that Daniel should be brought up from the pit. So Daniel was brought up from the pit, and he was unharmed because he trusted in his God. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of our gracious Lord, dear friends, very early in his life, he found his life to be filled with troubles and with difficulties and hardships. His training for adulthood put him under one who had absolute authority. He was committed to the truth, which at times put him in some pretty difficult situations. Finally, secure in his profession, the truth itself became threatening to him. He was given a choice. He could deny the truth and live, or he could stand up for what he believed in, for the truth, and die. Now, you might think that on this Reformation festival, I'm describing Martin Luther, the reformer of the Christian church, because that brief summary fits Luther. Fits him pretty well, actually. But in reality, I've got someone else in mind, and we just heard part of the story of his life. Daniel, whose life, and especially in this instance, was very similar to Martin Luther in what he experienced in his life. The example of Daniel, and that also of Martin Luther, as both of them stood courageously and faithfully for the truth of God, reminds us once more that the faithful Christian declares, "Here I stand." Daniel was just a teenager when the Babylonians swept through the Middle East and came in and entered the land of Judah and defeated the army of God's people and pretty much ravaged the land and, worst of all, came to Jerusalem and tore down the temple of the Lord and stripped it of anything that was valuable. The young men of the upper class, the elite, they were carried off to Babylon to be trained to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel was one of those young men. He was even given a Babylonian name, Belteshazzar. But during his time in Babylon, the Lord was with Daniel, giving him wisdom and understanding, and you probably remember the ability to interpret dreams and visions, an ability that was given to him by God himself. And over the years of his life, he served five different kings as an advisor in two different kingdoms. He was honored and lavished with praise and riches, and eventually became governor of the province of Babylon within the kingdom. But in his later years, the kingdom of Babylon came crashing down to be replaced by the kingdom of the Medes and Persians. But even during this time, the Lord continued to watch over Daniel. King Darius the Mede was king of the Medes and Persians. And he not only spared Daniel's life, he made Daniel one of his trusted advisors. Unfortunately, many of the other advisors of this king were not so trustworthy. Which brings us to the events of our text. This might be called the defining moment of Daniel's whole life, even here in old age. We see him willing to risk everything, even his own life, for what he believed in. He was, at this time in his life, forced to make a choice. He had to decide as to whether he would obey God or obey his king. For Daniel, the choice was pretty clear. With his faith and even his life hanging in the balance, he didn't use the same words that Martin Luther used when he stood up for the truth, found himself in a very similar situation before his emperor. But by his actions, Daniel most certainly lived up to the words of Martin Luther, "Here I stand." Or, I suppose in Daniel's case, "Here I kneel" might be more accurate. You see, Daniel's talents, his faithful service to all of those kings and to two kingdoms, the power that had been entrusted to him over the years by those kings, well, that made some of the other administrators jealous. Probably especially because Daniel was a foreigner. The problem was, these men couldn't find anything to bring charges against Daniel. He was blameless in the eyes of the king. And so they took a different approach. "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel," they said, "unless it has something to do with his God." They figured out how to set into motion a very clever and wicked plan. As a group, they brought a proposal to King Darius, one that would play on his pride, that would kind of puff up his vanity a little bit. O King Darius, live forever. The king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. And Darius fell for it. He made the decree. And the decree of a king of the Medes and Persians was a law. And it was a law that could not be repealed, not even by the king. And you see, these men knew that. So what did Daniel do when he heard of this decree? He went home, not to hide, not to plan his escape, but to do what he had always done. 3 times a day, he opened his windows, he got down on his knees facing Jerusalem where the Lord's temple had been, and he prayed to the Lord, just as he always had, just as his enemies hoped he would do. And of course, when they saw him doing this, they reported him. He had broken the law. He had gone against the decree of the king. And we're told that Darius tried whatever he could, but there's nothing he could do about it. Even though he was the king, he could not save or spare Daniel from what his decree had said. And so the order was given. And into that den, that pit of lions, went Daniel to die for his God. To die because he would remain faithful to the Lord, his gracious Savior. But as we know, dying was not what God had in mind for Daniel. When Darius, after a terrible night of no food, no sleep, when it finally became morning, he ran to the lion's den, hoping against hope that Daniel would still be alive. And he witnessed a miracle. Because from that pit came Daniel's voice. Your Majesty, may you live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because he found me innocent in his presence. Also before you, your majesty, I have committed no crime. The Lord had protected Daniel from this wicked plot. The charges were really trumped up because the whole situation was trumped up. Daniel had been faithful to the king all along and to God too, and the Lord protected him. As we commemorate the Reformation of the church, we could draw all sorts of parallels to the life and experiences of the great reformer Martin Luther. When he posted those 95 bold and challenging statements on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, when he stood before the emperor and refused to speak against God's truth as it was found in his writings and said those famous words, "Here I stand on God's truth, on his word and promises." And as he lived those next 25 years with a price on his head throughout the rest of his life, an outlaw, anyone who took his life would not be charged. Here too was a faithful Christian, refusing to give up the truth and the blessings of his Savior God. Was it easy for Daniel, for Martin Luther? No, not at all. These were not perfect men by any means. They didn't always pass the trials and the tests that came their way in their lives, tests of faith and conviction. But in faith, they understood that faithfulness to God doesn't mean being perfect. Faithfulness to God is trusting in the perfect Savior. Because finally, no one can live up to God's perfect standard. No one can live a perfect life in the eyes of a holy God. No one, that is, except the one who came into this world to do just that. The Son of God, who became a human being and lived under the same law as we live, and yet kept it as our substitute perfectly. When Jesus' enemies came and attacked him, he stood up to them and he asked, "Can any of you prove me guilty of sin?" They couldn't answer because they knew the answer. No. And when Jesus was lifted up on that cross to pay for the sins of the world, not one of those sins being his, but ours, he prayed for all sinners, "Father, forgive them." In his perfect life and by his sacrificial death, Jesus won that forgiveness for all sinners. He has paid for and forgiven our sins. He stands with us and for us forever. And he gives people like you and me the strength and the courage to stand up and say, "Here I stand on the life and death and resurrection of Jesus my Savior, on the truth of God's saving promises that through Christ we are the dear and eternal children of the Heavenly Father." That's faithfulness. And when that roaring lion, Satan, tries to devour us with his lies, to convince us that we are too sinful for God to want in his eternal family, then we listen to him, to God's saving promises. And we look that roaring lion right in the eye and say, "Here I stand on God's promises." And when the sinful world around us tries to confuse us with its deception that faithfulness to the Lord and to the truth of his word, that's outdated. That's just so rigid. That's closed-minded. There are other saviors, or even who needs a savior? And again, we want to listen to God's saving promises, to look those false believers in the eye, and with confidence say, "Here I stand on the promises of my Savior God." And yes, when our own sinful heart comes along and accuses us that trusting in Jesus is just not enough, that there's got to be something else, that we have to do something else to add to what our Savior has done for us, listen then to God's promises and tell that sinful nature to close its lying mouth, because we stand on the promises of our God. And yes, we declare even to ourselves, to our old sinful nature, "Here I stand on those promises, looking to my Lord, trusting his word and my Savior's promises, overcoming our enemies, faithful to the truth that he has revealed to us in his word." Did you ever wonder about Darius? We don't know the lasting effect that this had on him. Did this make him a believer in the Lord somehow? We don't know. But in the end, we do know that the Lord used King Darius and used these events for his purposes. Certainly to destroy those who sought to harm a faithful servant of God. And then also to strengthen how many believers over the centuries to stand up against the enemies of our faith. Maybe even influencing Martin Luther himself and giving him courage as he fought for the truth. But certainly, we have these words in the scriptures to encourage and to move us to stand confidently with Daniel and with Martin Luther and with a multitude of others in looking to our Savior God, knowing that he's there for us and always declaring As his faithful people, here I stand. And then, especially, to look forward to joining all of those faithful standers of the Lord when we meet in glory before our faithful God. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the responsive Reformation prayer. Almighty and eternal God, when the time had come, you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to take our place under the law and to endure the punishment of our sins. You accepted his sacrifice on the cross. You raised him from death in glory. For his sake, you daily and fully forgive the sins of all who put their trust in you. When the time had come, you raised up your servant Martin Luther to restore the pure and true teachings of the Scriptures. You renewed your people with the light of your love. You granted power and success to the preaching of the gospel, and the church grew and prospered. When the time had fully come, you made our fathers bold to take their stand on the truth of your word. Guided by your Holy Spirit, they joined hands and hearts under a common confession of faith. You have blessed their sons and daughters during the century past and enabled them to preserve and proclaim the saving gospel message. Let this be the time, O Lord, when you renew us by word and sacrament, when you reform our hearts and minds and restore us to the joy of service. Grant to us the courage of the apostles, the steadfastness of the reformers, and the dedication of the fathers of our churches past. For Jesus' sake, forgive us whenever we love ourselves more than you. Forgive us for spiritual carelessness, which harms our faith and hinders our work. Rid us of indifference for public worship and continued growth, and shatter every thought and word which harms our faith. O Lord, keep in your care all those we love. Protect them from temptation and every spiritual evil. Watch over those among us who are lonely or distressed, those who are afraid or facing danger, those who have pain of body or mind, and those who are at the hour of death. Hear the prayers your people bring you to this day, and answer them according to your wisdom and grace. We join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Dear Lord, grant that the lips which have sung your praises here may continue to glorify you in the world. Help the ears which have heard you speak to always be open to your word. May the tongues that have confessed your name always speak the truth without fear. May all of us who have worshiped together today be united in true love for you and for each other. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.